Turn your Bibles, if you would, please, to 1 John tonight. We're same spot we were this morning. This morning we were in 1 John chapter 2, verses 13 and 14, and we're still going to be there tonight. And so if you would look with me, I'm just going to preach the same sermon because I wanted to take a nap today and decided, hey, nobody pays attention anyway, so. All right, we're in 1 John chapter 2, verses 13 and 14. The Bible says, I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because ye have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because ye have known the Father. I have written unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word, and thank you for the admonitions and exhortations of your word. Thank you for the promises, and thank you for the warnings. Thank you for the love and the grace and the mercy that flows to us from your word, by your Spirit, and through your Son. I ask tonight, as we look into this portion of Scripture again, that you would give us something that would help us and encourage us all, whether we're male or female, whether we're fathers or mothers or grandfathers or grandmothers or singles or young people, because all of us can benefit from the Word of God. And I just pray you'd guide and direct tonight that that would happen. I pray you'd magnify yourself, glorify your Son, edify your people, and save the lost. And we'll give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The Apostle Paul is writing to believers, and in these verses in particular, he's writing to fathers, among others. Now, there are different kinds of fathers. There are fathers of natural-born children. There are fathers of adopted children. There are fathers of foster children. There are physical fathers, and there are spiritual fathers. Paul the Apostle was never married. Paul the Apostle never had any children, but he was a father. As a matter of fact, in 2 Timothy 1:2, it says, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 22, talking about Timothy, he said, but ye know the proof of him, that as a son with the Father, he hath served with me in the gospel. And then in 1 Timothy 1:2, he says this, unto Timothy, my own son, in the faith. And so everybody can be a father or a mother spiritually, right? How? By leading someone to Christ. This morning, we had a woman here who I haven't seen for 42 years. And on the way out, she took my hand and she held it and she thanked me. She said, I want to thank you for that day you came to my house and led me to Christ at the kitchen table in Franklin Terrace. And now she's a grown woman. Now she's married to a doctor of divinity and living for the Lord. And what a blessing that was to me. See, that was one of my daughters in the faith. I have sons in the faith here tonight. I have daughters in the faith here tonight. What a blessing that is. And so there are all kinds of fathers. And in writing to the fathers, John reveals certain characteristics about these fathers. Characteristics which, if all fathers and yea, all Christians possessed and practiced, it would put us in good standing with God and with men. Each of us who are saved are the children of the Heavenly Father. And we should each endeavor now and in the future to also display the traits we're going to look at tonight in our lives. Three traits that these fathers had. Number one, in John chapter 2, verses 13 and 14, number one, these fathers knew God. We looked at that a little bit this morning, but in these verses, John twice mentions that the fathers knew God. He said different things about the other group, but this group of the fathers, he said, you have known him from the beginning. You have known him from the beginning. This is very important because the father that knows God is different from the father that does not. For early years of my fatherhood, I did not know God. And because I did not know God, there were things in my life that would have been very detrimental to my daughters had I not come to know God. Coming to know God made me a different man. It made me a different father, and therefore a different role model than they would have had I had never gotten saved and come to know God as my Heavenly Father. You know, I often shudder to think what my daughters and their lives would be like today had the Lord Jesus not come and found me and revealed himself to me and changed me. Knowing Christ as Savior and knowing God as Father through Christ caused a 180-degree turn in my life. And I cannot be thankful enough for it. Not only because of the life that he has given me, and the life that he's given my wife, but the life that he has given my daughters as a result of me knowing God. Knowing God is not just knowing about him or believing that God exists. James chapter 2, verse 19 says, "Thou believest there is one God, thou doest well." The devils also believe and tremble. The devil believes that God exists, right? He knows that God exists. He knows that there is but one true and living God, but he has not, is not, and never will submit himself to allegiance and to obedience to the God he knows exists. All of my life growing up, I believed in God. From a little child, I believed God existed. I believed in God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. That's what I always heard. That's what I was always taught. That's what I always believed. Before I was saved, I prayed. Why? Because I believed that God existed. But I was no more saved than the devil. Because I did not believe in him as the Christ and on him as my Savior. You understand? My own earthly father was a different man after he got saved. And I wished I could have grown up with the new father in Christ instead of the old father without Christ.
That's right, amen.
Paul believed in God all his life as a Jew. Paul went to synagogue regularly. Paul was taught by the greatest religious leaders of the day. But he did not know God until that day on the Damascus Road. It is in Acts chapter 9 where Paul puts two and two together and realizes that Jesus, whom he was persecuting, was in reality the God and the Lord whom he said he believed in. So all that time he was believing in God, but he didn't even know who God was. He didn't know God until he met him on the Damascus Road. And here's what it says. "And he," that's Paul, "fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against a prick." And he, that's Paul, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? It all opened up for him, didn't it? The light turned on for him, didn't it? The God that he said he knew, he realized now, I don't know. I've been persecuting the very God whom I have said I believed in. There's a time when an individual comes not just to know that God exists, but to know him in an intimate way, in a personal way, in a spiritual way, by having Christ as Savior. This God that these men in 1 John knew was, according to John in verse 1, that which was from the beginning. In verse 13 it says, "Ye have known him that is from the beginning." Well, who is he that's from the beginning? Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God, right? In the beginning, God. So we know that they knew God. They knew the Creator God. They knew the God of eternity. And in Revelation, in the last book of the Bible, we have in the first book, it says, in the beginning, God. And then in the last book, in Revelation 22, 13, Jesus Christ says this, I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. So what Jesus is saying is, I'm God. I am He. I am Him. I am that which is from the beginning. That's who these fathers knew. These fathers knew a triune God. They knew God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Look at 1 John chapter 5, turn a few pages, and look at verse 7. Again, John is writing to these individuals who believe what they have been taught by the apostles. And in verse 7 it says, for there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. Amen. So we know who the Father is, and we know who the Holy Ghost is, but what does it mean, the Word? Does it mean like the Bible? No. This Word is mentioned in John chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So Jesus said, I am Him that's from the beginning. And the Bible says God is from the beginning. And the Bible says that the Word is from the beginning. John 1:14, of course. Well, John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Then verse 14 says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory of as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Can you imagine hear what that says? It says that the Word, God, who is the beginning, became flesh. Now listen, and we beheld His glory. We know what that means? That means that human beings looked upon the glory of God revealed in the person of Jesus Christ. Remember what Jesus said? He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father.
Amen.
This is God's Word. And He is revealing Himself to us. And He wants us to know Him. These fathers knew God. And as a result, they were new creatures in Christ. Number two, another characteristic of these fathers. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 3. These fathers walked with God. Not only did they know God, but they walked with God. Look at verse 3. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. It says that they had fellowship with God. The word fellowship means they had a partnership. That word partnership, you look it up. Means partnership. It means to share something in common. And what do believers share in common with God the Father and with God the Son? How about God the Holy Ghost?
Amen.
We have that in common, don't we? What else do we have in common? We become partakers of the divine nature. We have that in common. What else do we have in common? We are children of the Father by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. So we have this unique opportunity to walk with God. Before I was saved, I didn't walk with God. I walked with me, I walked with my family, I walked with my friends, I walked with the world, but I wasn't walking with God. But when I came to know God, for the first time in my life, I was able to walk with God, to have fellowship with God. And what they walked with God in a spiritual partnership and a common bond of the Spirit. Amos chapter 3, verse 3 says, can two walk together except they be agreed? It's a rhetorical question. It provides its own answer. And the answer is absolutely not. Can two walk together except they be agreed? You can't have fellowship if you don't have agreement.
That's right.
1 John 1:7. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. So only men and women who know God as Father and Christ as Savior can walk in the light of His Word and have fellowship with Him. See, there's a whole world out there that doesn't know God. They go to church and they talk about God. They use the name Jesus, all kinds of stuff. They got religions. They got all kinds of rituals and tapestries and all that stuff. But they don't know God. They say they know God, but Jesus said in works they deny Him. And if they don't know God, then they can't walk with God. And if they can't walk with God, then they can't please God. But if you're born again, you know God. Because He's your Father. And you can walk with God.
Amen.
We wonder why people don't understand. Why don't they see it? Why don't they understand? It's because they don't know God. Because they're not walking with God. They don't walk with God. How are they going to be in agreement with God? How are they going to know the things of God? We know that those are spiritually discerned. And what about this walk with God? What kind of walk is it? Well, number one, it's a close walk. 1 John 1:7. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. So where is God? Where is God? He's in the light. The Bible says a light that no man can approach. He's in the light. And the Bible says if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship. Well, what does that mean? If I can't approach unto that light, how can I walk in that light? How about walking in the light of His Word? Is not a lamp unto our feet and a what? A light unto our path. He said, if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship. So it's a close walk. You see, didn't Jesus say He is the straight gate? He is the narrow way? You see, if you're going to walk with Jesus, you have to have a narrow walk. It has to be a close walk. I remember a man named Peter, and he was really great when he was standing next to Jesus, but then you remember when he followed Him afar off? Didn't have a close walk, did he? What happened when he didn't have a close walk? He denied Jesus 3 times. You say, I would never deny Jesus. Yeah, Peter said that too. Until he ended up not walking close with God and ended up denying Jesus. It's a close walk. It's a straight walk. If you're going to walk with Jesus, you've got to walk straight.
That's right.
If you're going to walk with Jesus, you've got to walk narrow. It's a narrow way. You know what it means? It just means this. It means like He's the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Him. But the narrow way means that we exclude all those things that are outside of the will of God. The world has a what kind of way? A broad way. Anything goes today. I mean, the way is getting broader and broader, if you ask me. And so it needs to be a close walk. Number two, it needs to be a consistent walk. 1 John 2, look at 6. He that saith he abideth in Him ought himself also so to walk, even as He walked. Jesus had a consistent life, don't you think? And if we're going to walk as He walked, that means we're going to have consistency to our Christian walk. That means we're not going to be up here 1 week and down here the next week. That means we're not going to be over here 1 week and over here the next week. It means we're going to say, this is the way, walk in it. That means we're going to allow Jesus to direct our paths and establish our goings and order our steps. It means we're going to have a consistent Christian life. Dear Christian, if ever we needed consistency among Christians, it's today. So it is a close walk. It's a consistent walk. It's a confident walk. Look at 1 John 2. verses 1 and 2. My little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Do you see the confidence that we have there? We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. So we walk close to Jesus. We walk consistently as he walked, and we walk with a confidence that we are his little children. And when we mess up, and when we fail, and when we make those mistakes, we have an advocate with the Father. Well, that's a confidence. It's not a confidence to do wrong. It's a confidence to stay steady when you do wrong. Confident walk. And then lastly, it is a clean walk. Look at 1 John chapter 1. We'll look at verse 7 again. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. Do you see what? It's a clean walk, isn't it? He says here, we can't deny who we are and what we are, but praise the Lord, when we mess up, we can confess our sin, and he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. These little children, these things are right unto you that you what? Sin not. You know that's God's standard, right? God's standard is don't sin. Ever! In any way! Why? Be holy, for I am holy. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father. What a provision. Amen? And if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness in that fellowship. You see, there's a difference between relationship never changes. Fellowship does. You know, I have a relationship. Well, my father's in heaven. He got saved in my storefront church. Praise the Lord for that. He's in heaven now. But when he was here on earth, he and I didn't always get along, you know. He was unsaved and I was unsaved. And I always had a relationship with him. He was my dad. Couldn't do anything about that, right? Days I liked him, he's my dad. Days I didn't like him, he was my dad. But we didn't. So we always had a relationship, but we didn't always have a fellowship. There were times I didn't want to see my dad. There were times I didn't want to talk to my dad. There were times I didn't want to deal with my dad, and he didn't want to deal with me. But then there were times, and usually when that was happening, I was just being rebellious. I embarrassed my father so many times. I wasn't what you'd call a model child. And you know, my dad had a public job in the public transportation industry, and everybody in town knew him. And then, hey, I saw your son uptown the other day, and blah, 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 blah. But after my dad got saved, we had more fellowship. See, I always had a relationship with him, but there were times I didn't have much of a fellowship because of me, because I was being rebellious. I was bringing shame to my father's name. So you'll always have a relationship with God as your father. But you don't always have fellowship with him. Because you know what? If you're not walking in the light, you see, he says walking in the light, right? There are two walks mentioned in 1 John. The first one is walk with God in the light of his word. The second one is walking in darkness and out of fellowship with God. And so our relationship never changes. When I'm walking with God and I'm walking in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship. But if I go over here and I start wandering off into the darkness, he's not over here. Where's he? He's in the light. So when I'm over here in the light, walking with God, being obedient, I have fellowship. I start drifting over here into the darkness, that fellowship goes, right? Still have relationship. I'm like the son down in the pig pen. You remember him? He was still a son, wasn't he? But did he have fellowship with the Father? No. Why? Because he was down in the pig pen. He was down in a far country. He was where he shouldn't have been, doing what he shouldn't have been doing, and then he didn't have fellowship with the Father. But what happened when he confessed his sin? What happened when he came home and he said, Father, forgive me? What happened? The fellowship went whoop, right? So when you're not walking with God and you're in the dark, but when you confess your sin and you come home, it goes like that. It's better to be whoop. Right? Okay. What does it mean to be in darkness? It means to walk in sin, to go in and out, to be not in agreement with God. God says, that's sin? You say, no, it ain't. God says, that's wrong? You say, it ain't that bad. God said, I don't want you doing that. You're my son. Well, you know, I'm just going to do it anyway. That's not fellowship. That's relationship. And you know what happens? You know what my dad did to me? He gave me a whooping. I'm telling you, I had some whoopings. Yeah. I mean, I remember them. They're like, I dream of them. I have nightmares. Just kidding. But he did. He gave it to me a couple times. Man, I remember them just like they happened yesterday. Why? Because he was my father. We had a relationship. And when I got out of fellowship, my father helped me get back into fellowship, right? He used his relationship to get me back into fellowship. God does the same thing. The Bible says he chastens every son that he receives. He chastens every son that he loves. The Bible says if you're without chastening, you're bastards and not sons. That means when you're walking in the dark, you're not in fellowship because you're not in agreement. The fathers knew God, and the fathers walked with God. And these fathers in 1 John 1, 2 witnessed for God. Look with me. 1 John chapter 1, verse 2. For the life was manifest, and we have seen it. And bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. When a person comes to know Christ as he is and for who he is, they will want to witness about him to others. John chapter 1, verse 45. Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, we have found him, of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. You know what? Philip, he got so excited because he knew who Jesus was and he recognized who Jesus was. He was so excited to run and tell his brother Nathanael, we found him, we found him, he's here. What about that woman at the well? John chapter 4, verses 28 and 29. The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men, come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? See how excited she is? She just realized who Jesus is. She just came to know God. And she ran into the city and wanted to tell everybody, the Christ is at the well. Bearing witness of Jesus Christ as Savior. I mean, when it's all over, what really matters in the end? Does it really matter what kind of house you had or what kind of car you drove? Does it really matter when it's all over how much money you had in the bank? Does it really matter how much fun you had? That won't matter in the end. I'm not against any of that stuff. But what I'm trying to say is if we're not telling people about Jesus, what are we doing? Why are we here? The Bible says God gives us all good things to enjoy. Well, enjoy. But don't forget why you're here. You're here to witness of the God you know and the God you walk with. I want you to notice that both Philip and the woman at the well, they have met the Christ. Have you met the Christ? They both witnessed. Do you witness? They were enthusiastic and excited. Are you? They told others. Are you? 1 John chapter 1, verse 3 says, that which we have seen and heard. You see, they saw and were changed. Just like Saul of Tarsus on the Damascus Road. They saw and heard. In verse 3 it says, we saw, we heard, we declare we unto you. You see, they saw, they heard, they declared unto others. Remember the shepherds at first Christmas? What did they do when they saw and heard? Well, the Bible says in Luke 2:17, and when they had seen it, they made known the saying which was told them concerning this child. Hey, you know who that is? That's the Son of God. That's Jesus the Christ. In Mark chapter 5, verses 19 and 20. Remember that? Remember that that demon-possessed man? Remember him? Mark chapter 5, verse 19 and 20. Here's what Jesus said to him. Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. Hasn't he done that for us? Hasn't God done great things for us? Hasn't he had compassion on us as sinners on our way to hell? He said, I want you to go and tell your friends and family. I want you to tell them what I did for you, how I had compassion on you. And they said this, and he, that's the demon-possessed man who God delivered, and he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. Man, you can tell some stories about what Jesus has done for you, and men will marvel. You say, well, Jesus hasn't done all that much for me. Maybe you're not. You don't know him like you think you do. Maybe you're not walking with him like you think you are. Because if you know him like you think you do and you're walking with him the way you think you're walking with him, you'll have stories to tell.
That's right.
And what was the primary reason for the power of the Holy Spirit? Acts 1:8, and you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be what? Witnesses unto me. The power of the Holy Spirit wasn't given for this and for that and to show and all that junk that's going on supposedly under the guise of the power of the Holy Spirit. You read the book of Acts, the power of the Holy Spirit was given for the reason of sharing the gospel, of witnessing for Christ. What was the primary result of being filled with the Spirit? Acts chapter 4, verse 31. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken, and they were where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. You know what they did? They witnessed. They preached. They shared the word of God. That was the primary purpose and the primary result. What was Christ's last command before he went back to heaven? Mark chapter 16, verse 15, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and feed the poor and clothe them. Is that what he said? Oh, no, he said here, and preach the gospel to every creature. I'm not against feeding the naked. I'm not against, I'd like to feed the hungry first and clothe the naked. I'm against feeding the naked, yes, I am. Give them some clothes first, right? All right, here, come back. I'm all for that. But if I just feed them and clothe them and they die and go to hell, what have I done for them? I've done nothing for them. Matter of fact, I've been a curse to them because I knew that they had a greater need than food. They had a greater need than clothing, and that was they had a need of their eternal soul. When a person knows Christ as Savior and God as Father, there's a joy that passes all understanding that becomes theirs. And they want to tell others so they can have such joy as well. Look at 1 John chapter 1, verse 4. And these things write we unto you so that you'll know how spiritual we are. These things have we written unto you so that you know how educated we are. No, these things have we written unto you that your joy might be full. Nobody can have the fullness of joy if they don't have Christ as Savior and God as Father.
Right. Amen.
They can't have this joy. They can't have full joy. They can't have peace that passes all understanding. You see, when we witness, we pass on a spiritual legacy. And to those who get saved, we pass on an inheritance that's reserved for them in heaven. The greatest thing in the world is to know God. The greatest place in the world is walking with God. And the greatest thing to do is witness for God. Let's pray. As our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, the best way to know God, dear Christian, better is to spend time with Him in His Word and in prayer. Are you walking with God? And if you are, how closely are you walking? How consistently are you walking? How confidently are you walking? And how cleanly are you walking? Have you wandered off the path of life into a little dark spot? Step back into the light. Are you contemplating it? Don't. Have you been spreading the joy of Christ and sins forgiven and heaven as home with others? Why not? Perhaps tonight you need to be more like these fathers. But maybe you're here tonight or watching or listening and you've never been saved. As you've heard, you need to know Christ as your Savior and in order to know God as your Father. This is called being born again. Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. And in John chapter 1, we read how to be born again. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which are born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. You see, this is being saved. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Maybe there's someone here tonight that needs to call upon the name of the Lord. You just need to put everybody and everything else aside and just call upon the Lord Jesus to forgive your sins and be your Savior. Once and for all, confidently, knowingly, purposely, fully. Anybody like that here tonight? You need to get saved, and you know you need to get saved. You've been religious. You've done religious stuff. But you don't know God. Because you don't know Christ as your personal Savior. Say, preacher, I'd like to get saved. Would you slip your hand up? Just lift it up a little bit. I'll see it. Anybody like that here tonight? Dear Heavenly Father, how we love you, praise you, and thank you because you first loved us. Lord, we get so busy, we get so tied up, we get so interested in so many things that really don't matter. And I know, my Father, these are things you've given us to enjoy, and we do, but help us not to lose sight of the fact that we know you, and we're to walk with you, and we're to witness for you. Help us keep our eye on the goal, on the prize, on the purpose that we're here. I pray you'd guide and direct us in the invitation. We'll give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together, please. We're going to sing our closing hymn, number 116. When I survey the wondrous cross. No. Oh, number 89, I'm sorry. Near the cross. Number 89, if you'd take your hymn books, number 89, or maybe instead of taking your hymn books, you'd like to take some time to come and talk to the Lord. He's talked to you, now he wants you to come and talk to him. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, you don't know for sure you're going to heaven, why don't you meet me at the front? We'd like to help you with that, all right? As we sing, On the First.